Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's about that time. Happy Tuesday, May 28th, 2019. It is the day after the holiday. I really hope you all had a fantastic 3-day weekend. Hope you got a chance to gather with your family and friends yesterday. You know, enjoyed some good barbecue and just relaxed a bit. You know, recharged the batteries a bit before, of course, we've gotten back to work, back to business on this May 28th. So happy Tuesday to you all. Really quick behind the glass, we've got Connor Mathis holding down the fort on this Tuesday edition of the show. Well, I haven't seen Connor in a while. You took some time off. Connor, how was your time off, my man?
It was pretty fun. Went up to Toronto for a bit and then worked our way back down to Lansing and just kind of hung out.
That's awesome. We were just chatting, and I'm sure you'll expound more on this later on in the show. But you were in Toronto, as you just mentioned, and you got a chance to visit Jurassic Park. No, not the fictional land of the movies, but that's what they call the outdoor concourse of the stadium.
So right outside the arena, they have a little area, which is their formal Jurassic Park. But then they basically shut down the next two or three streets where they have overflow. So we got close enough to where we could see the actual Jurassic Park, but they filled that up really quickly. And then by the time we got there, they were starting to fill up the back street. So it's like basically the main street going in towards the stadium, and they have, you know, giveaways, and they have a DJ, like people performing, things like that. So it was pretty cool.
Watching it on television, I can only imagine what it was like to be there. And of course, if you have not heard, the Toronto Raptors, yes, indeed, they booked a ticket to the NBA Finals with a series win in the Eastern Conference Finals over Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. How about that? Pretty amazing, right? That happened on Saturday night, and Thursday night will be the first game of the NBA Finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Toronto Raptors. But good to see you back, Connor. I'm looking forward to talking some NBA later on this hour. But today we've got some pretty big news coming out of the camp of Michigan State University. Michigan State University has found its next president. The 21st president of MSU was announced this morning. I'll let you know who he is. I'll give you a bit of background on him. Our fantastic WKAR news team has been on top of this story. And we actually have some sound coming from the new university president of Michigan State. And I'll play to you a bit of the new president's vision for athletics here at MSU. And I want to have a broader conversation. This is all about our listeners, as it always is, at 1 o'clock here on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. But I particularly want to talk to our Michigan State, you know, alum out there or just fans of the university. I want to talk to our Michigan State base. You know, we're here on the campus of Michigan State University. That's our primary base. And I want to know, with everything that has occurred over the past, what, year and a half now, the Larry Nassar scandal, without a doubt, the most troubling chapter in this university's history. With this new step, MSU finding its new president, you know, some faces of the past are no longer there. Also, Mark Hollis, he's no longer with Michigan State Athletics. As the Michigan State Athletic Director, Bill Beekman has been holding down the fort now for some months. I want to know where exactly you are when it comes to the healing process of that very dark chapter that we have been experiencing here at MSU for, again, a year and a half. Do you like this move here when it comes to the new president? Now, again, I'll give you his credentials. I'll let you know who he is in just a moment. But I'm sure many of you are already ahead of this story. But I want to know your thoughts on this move and where you rank this move in terms of the healing process of Michigan State University. Okay, that will be the foundational conversation that we'll have throughout the hour here on Current Sports. You can call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We want to hear from you all out there. You can also weigh in and comment below our live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. A few of you are already on that. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. All right. Later on in the hour, I'll be talking about the French Open and Serena Williams making a fashion statement. All right. I'll explain that. And we'll also have weekend winners for you. We'll look at the Memorial Day weekend that was in the local sporting world and beyond, and bring to you a few names and a few teams that really caught our eye. Okay? But you know what's next? Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, and we start here again. The big news coming out of Michigan State University today is that MSU has found its next president. His name is Samuel Stanley Jr., who is a medical doctor, the current leader of Stony Brook University out in New York. And this is what board member Melanie Foster, who co-chaired the search committee, had to say concerning this vote to put Samuel Stanley Jr. in place as the university's 21st president. Quote, today represents a pivotal moment in MSU's 164-year history. Now, the board voted unanimously for Stanley Jr. to be MSU's next president. He is the first permanent president at MSU since Luana K. Simon held down the fort, currently facing criminal charges for Simon. She stepped down in the wake of the Larry Nassar scandal. Since then, two other interim presidents have served, including former Michigan Governor John Engler, who was forced from office. Now, Stanley has been president at Stony Brook, which is a public university on Long Island out in New York, as part of the State University of New York system. He has held down that position since 2009. So what are your thoughts on, again, Samuel Stanley Jr. being voted unanimously as the next president of Michigan State University? And the question I'm asking out there is for all of our Michigan State listeners out there, you know, how do you feel about this in terms of the healing process of Michigan State? Where are you in the healing process of this university with now a permanent president being put in place? Okay, what are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, we will also be bringing to you sound coming from our outstanding WKAR News team who was present at the Board of Trustees meeting this morning when that vote took place for Samuel Stanley Jr. to be MSU's next president. Okay, so more on that in just a moment. The NCAA baseball tournament field was unveiled yesterday, and two local teams have their roads to Omaha mapped out. Michigan earned an at-large bid as one of the last four in and will head to Oregon State, the final national seed, number 16. U of M will open the regional at 4 p.m. on Friday against Creighton, the Big East champion. You can catch that on ESPN3. And also, Central Michigan University earned an automatic bid by winning the Mid-American Conference Tournament. The Chippewas head to Starkville, Mississippi for the number 6 Mississippi State Regional. CMU will play Miami. That's right, the U, at 8 p.m. also on ESPN3. Okay, Michigan football landed one of its top recruiting targets last Friday, and he happens to be from the Wolverines' backyard. Port Huron, Michigan Northern defensive end Braden McGregor. He picked Michigan over Notre Dame and Florida, among other programs, during an announcement ceremony at his school on Friday night. Now, McGregor is one of the top players in the state for the class of 2020. According to 247 Sports, he is the number 89 overall recruit in the nation and the number 3 prospect from Michigan. So again, Braden McGregor, defensive end from Port Huron, Michigan. He has chosen to play for Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines. And more Michigan news, Juwan Howard, the new head coach of the University of Michigan men's basketball program. He has made his first personnel decision. Howard, who was hired as the Wolverines head coach last week Wednesday, he announced in a tweet on Friday that longtime strength and conditioning coach John Sanderson would remain with the program. This is what Howard wrote on Twitter. I am pleased to announce that John Sanderson, an integral part of the program the last 10 years, will be staying in Ann Arbor. His reputation precedes him. I'm definitely looking forward to witnessing that first workout. So Sanderson was hired at Michigan back in 2009. In addition to working with the men's basketball team, he has also worked with the men's and women's golf teams. Sanderson, who played college hoops at Ohio State and Ohio, is widely regarded as one of the top strength and conditioning coaches in the entire nation. So John Sanderson staying with the University of Michigan men's basketball program as the strength and conditioning coach. All right, although former Marquette standouts Sam and Joey Hauser have yet to formally announce their transfer plans, sources now indicate that they no longer are expected to join the Wisconsin men's basketball program. A source told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Saturday that Sam is expected to choose Virginia. Joey wants to come to East Lansing to ball out for Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball program. How about that? Joey, 6'9", 230 pounds. He averaged almost 10 points and 5 boards per game last season. He shot 42.5% from three-point range and hit 79.1% of his free throws. He was named to the Big East All-Freshie team after being named the league's Freshman of the Week 5 times. He will sit out the 2019-2020 season, barring appeals, but will be eligible come 2020-2021. All right, the Detroit Tigers. Yes, we have to mention them because it's that time of the year when baseball begins to dominate everything. It's just unfortunate that we really don't have a great professional team here in the state of Michigan. The Tigers, nearly a week after getting swept by the worst team in the National League, they dropped the first game of a 3-game series against the worst team in the American League, 5-3 against the Baltimore Orioles at Camden Yards. So, yeah, the Tigers looking to rebound against the Orioles tonight at 7.05 p.m., but let's just keep it real. This team is just not that good. So, all right, turning the page now to the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions head coach Matty Patty, Matt Patricia, shows an intensity on every Sunday in the fall during the games. And in June, he will show a different kind of emotion as the Grand Marshal for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series Firekeepers Casino. That is a very long name for a race. Firekeepers Casino 400 that will take place on June 9th. Yes, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series Firekeepers Casino 400. Say that five times fast. This is what Patricia said about this honor. Quote, it is a true honor to be named the Grand Marshal for this year's Firekeepers Casino 400 at Michigan International Speedway. I'm excited to meet all the world-class drivers that make NASCAR such a special sport. I have many friends closely involved in the NASCAR community, and I have attended countless races over the years. My family and I are thrilled to represent the Detroit Lions at the race, and I look forward to meeting some of the most passionate fans in all of sports next month at the track. That's really cool stuff. MIS, just a beautiful. I've been there one time. And that was for the MHSAA Track and Field Championships. I went solo dolo as an intern at WLNS TV6, and I remember my jaw just hit the floor when I saw the track. So I can only imagine what it's like to witness a race there. Awesome stuff. Congratulations to Maddie Patton. Okay, this is last but certainly not least, some troubling news, but it seems to be trending upward. According to a statement from Quicken Loans CEO Jay Farner, Cavs owner Dan Gilbert is awake, responsive, and resting comfortably after suffering a stroke on Sunday. Now, Gilbert, again, he's the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He is a staple in the city of Detroit. Of course, he is good friends with Tom Izzo. Heck, the Gilbert Pavilion, you know, he funded that whole pavilion that is at the Breslin Center. Gilbert was taken to the hospital with stroke symptoms and suffered a stroke at the hospital. He then underwent a procedure before being moved to the intensive care unit. So Farner went on to say in a statement, quote, Dan Gilbert and his family are grateful for the outpouring of support following the news of his hospitalization early Sunday. Dan was not feeling well Sunday morning, so he was taken to the hospital by a family friend. While under care at the hospital, he suffered a stroke and was immediately taken in for a catheter-based procedure, then moved to recovery in the intensive care unit. Dan is awake, responsive, and resting comfortably. Dan and his family are immensely grateful to the doctors and nurses whose early intervention is already paying dividends toward his recovery. And, I saw this story. I was in Detroit for the holiday. And, I was with my family, and we were watching the local news when this story popped up. I didn't know. I thought that he just suffered, like, stroke-like symptoms. I didn't know that he suffered a stroke at the hospital. But that story came up when we were with the, when I was with my family watching that. So, good news, though, that, Connor, Dan Gilbert is awake, at least, and feeling better. But that's some jarring stuff, isn't it? My goodness.
Yeah, I had heard that he had the stroke-like symptoms, but I don't think they confirmed it was a stroke until probably today.
Right.
The statement came out, because originally the report I just saw come across, like the Bleacher Report and the ESPN, was just he's in the hospital.
Right. That had to be today, because again, we were watching the news around like I think it was like the 6 o'clock news last night, and they had just mentioned they were stroke like symptoms. So wishing Dan Gilbert the best. Rest well. Get better, my man. All right. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, the foundational conversation of today's current sports is centered on the breaking news that occurred this morning. Michigan State University has found its next permanent president, the first since Luana K. Simon. All right, Samuel Stanley Jr., a medical doctor, the current leader of Stony Brook University in New York. And I'm asking you all, the foundational conversation we're having, the question I have for you all is, where are you at when it comes to the healing process here at Michigan State University in light of this news, hiring a permanent president? We have been, you know, sitting around waiting for, you know, a pretty long time now as the search committee interview candidates. You know, I feel as though, you know, the search could have been a little bit more transparent to the public. But here we are. Michigan State University has its next president. What do you think of this move? And with this move, where are you at in the healing process of MSU? All right. So 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR news and you can comment below the live stream there. And you can also tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. All right, folks, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your Tuesday afternoon. Again, happy Memorial Day. You know, I had a great time. I went to Detroit to go see Grandma and, you know, Uncle Snoochie, you know, my Uncle Ray, my cousins and friends. And it was an awesome time. I haven't been there in a while. I haven't spent that much time with them in a long time. And on Memorial Day yesterday, I spent most of my day. It was gorgeous up until like the evening, right, when we did get some rain. But I spent most of my time, Connor, in front of the grill. I have become, I've been hesitant to say this the last 3 years. I've been dabbling in grilling. I've become a grill master now. Al Martin is a grill master now. It was confirmed yesterday. Because the first two times, it's like, all right, the first time, pretty good. Second time, even better. Third time was the charm. The fam loved what I did with the chicken, what I did with, that's pretty much all I cooked, though, is just the chicken, honestly. So can I call myself a grill master? Have I just grilled just one thing?
If you did it really well, I guess you can
I did it really well,
throw
man.
It in there.
I got a secret recipe that I use, and it was pretty fire, dude. Hot dogs. I had some hot dogs on the grill as well.
Now you've earned it, because you have to have hot dogs or burgers, and they have to be good, well received to be grill master. It's got to be
right.
a main meat, and then like a throwaway one.
That's true. I had turkey burgers last year, and also shrimp last year, which was also well received. So this year I was just feeling, you know, budget. I had to budget this year. You know, I looked at the account like, all right, I'll just get some chicken. So fun time, man. And again, it was great seeing the fam. So I hope. And it was a good one with you and yours. Let's dive right into this. Because, again, the question that I'm asking to our current sports listeners today is where are you at exactly when it comes to the healing process of Michigan State University? You know, it's been a tough year and a half. You know, the Larry Nassar scandal has painted Michigan State University in a really bad light. You know, I watched the HBO documentary centered on Larry Nassar. I watched that a few weeks ago, and it just makes your stomach turn. You know, the documentary goes at, of course, you know, the United States Olympic Committee, the USOC. It goes after, you know, USA Gymnastics. It goes after Michigan State. And it really just it's pretty graphic, it's pretty detailed, and it'll make you emotional. So that's just one of the latest profiles of the Larry Nassar scandal, making national news, making national headlines. And here at Michigan State, what we are trying to heal, you know, as a university, it's tough. because, you know, a part of you, and I feel like I speak for many in saying this, you know, you're kind of conflicted because a part of you is like, okay, you know, can we, you know, turn the chapter and get to a better place here? But at the same time, you don't want to forget. We should not forget what has gone down this past year and a half. We should not forget the flaws in the system and the flaws in leadership that allowed one of the biggest cases of sexual abuse to fester for years. Right here at this university, we should not forget the survivors of Larry Nassar and how loud their voices are, because we can learn a lot. And I feel like we've learned and are still learning a lot about ourselves and about how to make our campus a better place based on what has happened during this time. And, you know, we've seen so many faces and names removed from certain positions here at the university based on the Larry Nassar scandal. And, you know, we are getting to a place of healing. I just don't know where we are. I feel when I think about that question, I know it's a loaded question, right? You know, where are you at in the healing process of this university? That's a loaded question because I think it varies depending on who you're talking to. You know, this scandal has affected many people in many different ways. So that question is going to vary. And that question is very heavy. And now with Michigan State, you know, finding its next president in Samuel Stanley Jr., I feel like many people are saying, okay, you know, we're moving in the right direction here. Now, the verdict is still out. We don't know how great of a president, you know, Samuel Stanley Jr. is going to be. And again, I talked about his credentials a bit during our headliners. He's a medical doctor, the current leader of Stony Brook University. He has a degree from Harvard, a very smart man. And time will tell how great of a leader he truly is. So right now, I want to go to two sound bites that our news team put together. They have been following this story since the morning. And again, Michigan State University naming its next president. The MSU Board of Trustees voted unanimously today to appoint Samuel Stanley Jr. as the leader of the school. He has served as president of Stony Brook University in New York for the past decade. He is the first president to come from outside the university since the 1980s. Stanley addressed the MSU community following his appointment. He pledged to implement changes in the wake of the Larry Nassar sexual abuse scandal. Here is his statement.
Well, thank you so much. I want to begin by expressing my deepest gratitude to the Michigan State University Board of Trustees and the Presidential Search Committee for giving me the opportunity to serve this great university. MSU is an extraordinary institution, the pioneer land-grant university, one that helped define that noble mission and one that accomplishes the difficult feat of providing students affordable access to excellence. And that's an excellence that shines across the whole university in the caliber of your faculty, staff, students, your innovative teaching and learning, your groundbreaking research and scholarship, your world-renowned athletic programs, and your vital extension mission. And MSU is a university with the scope and scale that few others possess, a scope and scale that creates impact, that allows you to do good, not just for individuals and their families, but also for communities, for the state, for the nation, and for the world. You are engaged in initiatives that I have worked on in my career, and I care deeply about improving student success, growing sponsored research to generate discoveries that will change lives, as well as other initiatives that are new to me but have already captured my imagination, like the drive to integrate the arts into your land-grant mission and your new initiatives that are transforming agriculture for local freeholder farmers and farmers across the globe. I'm also impressed by your growing commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, a core value for any successful institution. I want to build on that, so the development of a campus-wide plan for diversity, inclusion, and equity will be a high priority for me. And I look forward to engaging the board, shared governance, and the entire campus in this endeavor. These are just a few of my initial impressions, and there's so much, much more I need to learn about MSU. But I'm so excited about the trajectory you're on, and I look forward to be a part of that journey. At the same time, I also see a Spartan community that has had a turbulent and difficult time, a community in need of healing. Like Dr. Ibta and the board, I want to meet with the survivors and their families, listen to their voices and their thoughts, and learn from them. And I want to work with them and all of the campus community to ensure that changes that need to be made are implemented. What happened at MSU will not be forgotten. Instead, it will drive us every day to work together to build a campus culture of transparency, awareness, sensitivity, respect, and prevention, a safe campus for all. This is going to be key to all of our initiatives. Before closing, I wanted to especially thank the students of the Associated Students of MSU for their letter to the incoming president. It was full of wisdom, but I was particularly took to heart their reminder that, quote, while you will be leading the Spartan community, you will not be independent of it. We hope you will become an integral community member, unquote. That will become one of my goals, and I will further it by living on campus and by making every effort to be visible to my fellow Spartans. Again, my sincere thanks to the board and the Presidential Search Committee for their confidence, and I look forward to working hand in hand with you, with MSU's distinguished faculty and staff, with the amazing undergraduate and graduate students, with the citizens and elected officials of the great state of Michigan, and with more than 550,000 proud MSU alumni who bleed green and white, as together we write the next great chapter in Michigan State University's storied history. Go green. All right.
Again, Samuel Stanley Jr., Michigan State University's next president, commenting his statement at the Board of Trustees meeting after his appointment. I like what I'm hearing, I'll tell you that. And following the Board of Trustees meeting, Stanley also addressed his vision for the school's sports programs.
So first of all, of course, everybody knows Michigan State Athletics. So the Spartans are known around the world. And one of the things that was very exciting for my wife, who's actually a huge basketball fan, you might not necessarily recognize that from looking at her, but she is a huge basketball fan, and her excitement about becoming part of Spartan athletics and Spartan basketball was really palpable. I think college athletics are incredibly important, and I think for Michigan State, athletics really are a portal by which the world sees you. So it really is a way to build name recognition, and I think that allows you to do a number of other things. So I think athletics does that. It helps cement your relationship with your alumni. It helps make you an integral part of the community. It really builds a kind of a partnership, if you will, and something that everybody can talk about. It really cuts across socioeconomic areas. It cuts across everything. People will follow the Spartans and be loyal to the Spartans, and really all those things vanish away. I think it's important that we think about student athletes when we think about athletics. So for me, when I was on the NCAA Board of Directors and Board of Governors, and when I've had the opportunity to lead Stony Brook University, one of the things I focus, and I led the America East Conference. You may not know what that is, but I won't even say. But I led the America East Conference, which is actually an outstanding conference with a great commissioner. But I had the chance to chair that conference for a number of years. And there my focus was really on student athletes. So the athletics is incredibly important. It means a lot to the university, but the student athletes are incredibly important. And what I came to experience from having done those things was a tremendous set of respect for student athletes, how they learn to manage time, how they develop leadership potential, and the difference they can make to a community. They really are leaders on campus. So I see these very positive things about athletics. I also see some of the challenges, and I'm aware, obviously, of some of the things that have been in public and so on. But I think, in general, I'm very bullish on what's going to be done, and I look forward again to working with our athletics director and, again, understanding from the community what people's thoughts are about athletics.
So, again, I tell you what, I like what I'm hearing. Samuel Stanley Jr., the next president here at Michigan State University, you heard his statement at the Board of Trustees. You heard him commenting on his vision for athletics here at Michigan State. And let's just be 1,000% honest here. Athletics are secondary right now when it comes to Stanley's early tenure here at MSU. There are a lot of things that I'm sure Stanley Jr. is going to be focusing on other than athletics, because, again, there's still a lot of healing that needs to be done here at this university. And athletics right now, I think, are in a pretty healthy place, if you ask me. You know, Bill Beekman, you still figuring out the job. You know, I thought he did a good job coming in his first year for MSU. But that's not going to be, I don't believe, the primary focus of Samuel Stanley Jr., at least during the early stages of his tenure as president here at Michigan State. But you heard his opening statement. He said the right things. You know, he's a very smart guy. I mean, he went to Harvard. He's got leadership experience out at Stony Brook in New York. And, you know, you look at what has happened here when it comes to the president position in recent months. You know, starting with Luana K. Simon, who came off as so unsympathetic to the survivors of Larry Nassar. She stepped down. In came, you know, John Engler. Same thing with him, right? You know, it was like he was just tone deaf. You know, you would think that the president who came after Luana K. Simon would come in and help things, but it seemed like he just poured gasoline on the already burning fire. And then we saw Satish Upta come in and hold down the fort for some time until the permanent president was in place. So, again, time will tell how we grade the leadership of Samuel Stanley Jr. But I did like what I heard today during this morning's Board of Trustees meeting when he was appointed unanimously as the university's next president. What about you? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, where a few of you are already commenting on this story, the big story coming out of Michigan State today. You can also tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, Connor Mathis has been keeping me updated on a story that just broke. Some pretty big news out of the world of the National Football League. Trust me, you don't want to touch that dial. You don't want to miss this conversation, all right? We'll be right back with that convo and more. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Okay, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We've got some news to pass your way. Wow, a busy, busy Tuesday. A busy show right after the holiday weekend. You know, as we were listening to Samuel Stanley Jr. talk during during the Board of Trustees meeting in which he was appointed as the university's 21st president, Connor, you chimed in my ear and you've been keeping me updated on some breaking news, a story coming out of Bleacher Report concerning the National Football League. I'm reading an article here from Adam Wells, and the headline reads, NFLPA Executive Director Demoris Smith warns agents to plan for work stoppage. Again, I'll read that headline again. NFLPA Executive Director Demoris Smith warns agents to plan for work stoppage. So the piece goes on to read, quote, rumblings about an NFL work stoppage have been percolating for months. And the NFL Players Association Executive Director Damora Smith has reportedly added a new wrinkle to the proceedings. Per Liz Mullen of Sports Business Journal, Smith sent an email to every NFL agent. Yes, every NFL agent, saying that the union is, quote, advising players to plan for a work stoppage of at least a year in length when the collective bargaining agreement ends after the 2020 season, which will be just, you know, again, 100 days from the NFL's centennial season. The looming threat of a work stoppage continues to be a hot topic in league circles. So what we're basically looking at is a lockout, an NFL lockout. That's pretty crazy, right? I've got so many questions. First off, that's a lot to digest. And, you know, we saw ESPN.com's Adam Schefter. He reported in January that teams were using language in new coaches' contracts to protect them in the event of a work stoppage that impacts the 2021 campaign. So, again, this email goes out from Damora Smith to all these agents saying that, quote, we are advising players to plan for a work stoppage of at least a year in length. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, Connor, you know, the first thought that came to my mind when you chimed in my ear and said that was why. I really need a legit reason for an NFL lockout, because players are paid more than ever. You know, revenue seems to be higher than it's ever been in the league. The game is bigger than it's ever been. The NFL dominates all professional sports here in America. So what reason could the NFLPA possibly have for a work stoppage? I'm just confused here. I'm really confused here.
So this story's kind of been slowly brewing up since about January. The main reason from players like Richard Sherman and some others have been saying that there could be a legitimate work stoppage is the sort of cutting out of the NFL's quote unquote middle class. Cause the way deals are structured now, your rookie contract, you're kind of locked into it. If you're a big max player, you're getting all the money. If you're a first, second round draft pick, you're getting money. But if you're in that like middle class of player where you are just towards the tail end of your rookie deal, you're a third or a fourth or a fifth round pick and you explode onto the scene, you're getting cut out of money until your first free agency. And what they're trying to do is trying to make it so that median middle ground of player isn't like kind of screwed out of the massive amount of money that you said is coming into the game.
So you're basically saying it's too top heavy and the average NFL player feel shortchanged,
yes,
like contractually.
Yeah, if you're not in a really early first round pick, or you're not a superstar coming out of that first free agency, you're getting cut out of all the extra money. The other thing that the players are getting riled up about is the NFL is the like last U.S. sports league where contracts are not mostly guaranteed or fully guaranteed. And after we saw the year that Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors, where the NBA had all that money come in, and it was all guaranteed, a bunch of NFL players were like, well, wait a minute. Why can't that be us? Why can a sixth man in the NBA or an eighth man in the NBA get paid my salary completely guaranteed? And my salary, in most cases, most people in the NFL acknowledge if you sign a 5-year deal with the NFL, only three years of that you're going to get your actual money, and then the next couple of years is going to be reworking and trying to get it down. So the guaranteed money is another big part of this equation. And I guess the NFL's perspective is kind of, well, we're letting some players get fully guaranteed. Kirk Cousins' contract is fully guaranteed. So the NFL kind of wants to keep it. So, well, we have this in our back pocket. If you're really a max out guy and we feel like you've earned it, we'll give you a fully guaranteed. But the players are like, well, why are we the only league left that we're getting shortchanged out of money? And there's a culture in the NFL of, well, if you sign a multi-year deal and you're not reworking it towards the back end, you're not a team guy, you're not a team player, you're selfish. And you see that a lot with with guys who sign these big, massive contracts, and then 3-4 years down the road, their team is kind of struggling. Like, we want to bring in more people, and they're asked to take pay cuts. And what a lot of times, if the player doesn't take the pay cut, they're off the team.
Right, and that's not fair.
That's not fair to the player, yeah.
That's not fair. So I get it from that standpoint then. But, you know, I look at it, and this is, you know, coming from this this piece, again, it's written by Adam Wells of Bleacher Report. Are any other sources reporting on this, or was this just and he quotes Liz Mullen of the Sports Business Journal. So is this just coming from Liz Mullen of the Sports Business Journal? I guess she got the scoop on this.
Yahoo Finance is also reporting it too. The New York Times reported on Tuesday that the NFL is making maneuvers to protect themselves in the case of a work stoppage, like you brought up Adam Schefter's tweets from like January, February.
Right.
The NFL,
Richard Sherman is quoted in here as well. Last September, I didn't know he said this, saying that last September that a lockout is, quote, going to happen. And then the Boston Globe's Ben Volen in 2013 said the NFLPA absolutely failed the NFL players. Well, that's what one unnamed agent, excuse me, told Boston Globe's Ben Volen in 2013. And then this unnamed agent went on to say, quote, it's the worst CBA, collective bargaining agreement, in professional sports history. It's pushing the veterans out of the game and cuts the rookie pay in half. How is that a good deal? End quote.
And the other thing, too, is with the 2011 lockout, you had a lot of, when that lockout happened, you had some star power. You had like the Drew Breeses in one corner.
Was
like,
that a full year?
That was not that was a full year. That was the they cut out a lot of the preseason. It hurt the preseason. It hurt that kind of stuff. But it didn't actually hurt the season itself. The last time I think a lockout or work stoppage hurt the season, I think was 1986.
So you got to go way back.
It's only been a couple of games.
Right.
But this guy, because in 2011 you had like some of the star players saying, look, we need to get a better deal. And a lot of others, like Ray Lewis was a prime example of saying, look, I don't know what you guys are talking about. We need to get back to this game.
Right. Then you look at Ray Lewis. I mean, Ray Lewis is Ray Lewis.
He was making bank.
He's getting paid anyway. You know what I mean? He's getting paid a lot. So, again, from my understanding, what you're saying, Connor, is this is more about the NFL as a whole. There are more average players in the game than superstars. The superstars are, of course, getting paid. The ratings are through the roof right now for the NFL. The NFL is dominating in that regard. But the average player, and we all know that the lifespan of an NFL player is something like 2 to 3 years. You know what I mean?
It just went up to like 3 years, but still.
But still, 3 years, that's nothing.
It's nothing.
That is
and especially
nothing.
When that money isn't guaranteed.
Exactly. If that money isn't guaranteed, you know, if you get hurt, I mean, you're SOL. You know what I mean? So, you know, when it comes to this situation, I just the reaction. Can you imagine? I'm getting a comment here on our Facebook page from Ben saying, quote, I couldn't deal with an NFL lockout. I don't know what I would do with an NFL lockout. I would be beside myself if that were to happen. Can you imagine sports fans everywhere not having NFL on their television on a Sunday? And, you know, I guess we're talking about a year lockout. That would be unprecedented.
The only time it's happened was in the 80s, and they had replacement players in for three games, and the product suffered. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the NFLPA's standpoint, if this getting out now that they're saying, look, we're planning for a year-long lockout, could not be better for them, because now it's kind of like you've given the NFL a warning shot, and you can kind of get some fans on your side now. If they paid attention now and they said, look, we told you, if something does not change, we're not going to play for a year, and the NFL stands pat and says, no, we'll just wait it out. You could turn public opinion in your favor. That's pretty big in these lockouts.
That is huge. And so when looking at this, Connor, we're talking about after the 2020 season.
Yeah.
So I just want to make this clear. We're not talking about come next season. You'll still get your NFL fix that season. Also the 2020 season as well. We're talking about 2021 is basically what we're talking about, right?
So like the last time it happened, if I remember correctly, the lockout itself in 2011 happened right after like combine and stuff. So you still have the NFL draft.
Right. Right.
Free agency gets difficult.
Right, exactly.
Because of that.
Yeah.
But you still have the NFL draft. If you remember back in 2011, that was when probably the boos for Goodell were probably the worst when he stepped on that stage.
Oh, they were horrible. And they've been horrible throughout most of his tenure. But yeah, they were really, really bad.
Yeah, they were loud. They were out there.
Yeah, exactly. So your thoughts on this, because, you know, I'm still trying to process this. Again, it broke. What, like, you know, near 1 p.m. when we were on the air, Connor, and you chimed in my ear and said, you got to check this out. So, and I'm seeing a lot. If you just type in NFL lockout on Twitter, I mean, there's responses everywhere right now.
It's also important to note, too, this was reported by the New York Times. The NFL's, most of their media agreements expire in 2022. If it lasts for a year, that could hurt the negotiations there. And there was also in the Yahoo Finance article about this. They said in February, parts of the PA had sent out like a mass message to players again saying, start saving your royalty checks from Madden, because that's how you're going to get by if this lasts a year. Because the Madden game will still be produced.
Yeah, it will be. That's cool.
So you'll still get their money from the Madden game. So, I mean,
that is true.
Something.
But, you know, like you said, for that middle-tier player, man, save up, because this could get ugly. This really could get ugly. And, don't live above your means. You know what I mean? If planning for the future, don't live above your means, right? If you know a lockout is possible, you know, you may need to downgrade from that mansion that you got on your heart, okay? But that's crazy. That's if this were to happen. Now, and there's still a lot of time for negotiations to happen.
And they're starting their negotiations earlier.
Right. This may be like a scare tactic, maybe, to say, hey, we need to get something done here. We'll see. But big news nonetheless. All right, final break. When we come back, we will have weekend winners for you, where we look at the weekend that has been, the Memorial Day weekend that was Friday to Monday, and we'll bring you some of our favorite sports stories, athletes, and teams that dominated Memorial Day weekend. All right, we'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. As we come up with just 5 minutes left here in the hour, it is now time for Weekend Winners, where we look at the weekend that was in the local sporting world and beyond, and bringing you a few athletes and teams and moments that stole our respective sports hearts. Well, I would be remiss if I did not mention what happened yesterday in the Stanley Cup Finals. Game one, the Boston Bruins beating the St. Louis Blues 4-2, as Boston leads that series now 1-0. Nice opening game for the Stanley Cup Finals. Great stuff there. As, again, a lot of goals scored. You know, 6 goals, and Boston comes out with the win. So, the Boston Bruins, a big shout-out to you. Also, you know, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, and Connor, you were there out in Toronto, to embrace a bit of the Toronto Raptors fever that is very, very high right now. Just ask Drizzy Drake. The Raptors are in the NBA Finals for the very first time ever. For the very first time ever, the Toronto Raptors have made the NBA Finals. That is such a great fan base. That Raptors fan base, they really rally around the Raptors. You see Jurassic Park on television when you're watching these games. Kawhi Leonard. What more can I say that I haven't already have said about his play, about how he goes about his business? You know, I made the comparison last week with Alec and Jack on the show, Connor, that he reminds me, he's like the basketball version of Barry Sanders. where, you know, Barry was just such a great athlete, one-of-a-kind guy who would score touchdowns galore. He would make you, you know, the jukes and the fakes and, you know, would make guys fall. Such a special player. And when he would score a touchdown or do something special, what was he doing? He was just handing the football over to the ref, not talking any trash, not really emotional. Kawhi Leonard is that guy. And, you know, he realizes that, okay, we got the job done against Milwaukee, but, you know, we want to show up against the Golden State Warriors. Now, I think we all agree that I don't believe that the Raptors are going to beat the Golden State Warriors. I've seen some out there that are saying, you know, sweep. I think it's going to go six games. I think that the Raptors will win two. All right, I'm hoping for six. I'm praying for seven because, two greatest words in sports, right? Game seven. That'd be awesome to see that series go to seven. But the Warriors are just so good. I have seen a report this morning saying that Kevin Durant will not be participating in game one come Thursday of the NBA Finals. So, but big shout out to Toronto for just getting there. Not a lot of people had them near, and a lot of people chose the Milwaukee Bucks, like myself, especially when they took that 2-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals to start. I thought that the Bucks were going to be playing the Warriors, and I was totally wrong. And also, last but not least, Serena Williams for her outfit at the French Open that really made heads turn due to, it was just different. It had like a lot of women empowerment sayings on it. And it was just awesome. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Really great stuff. It featured words like mother, champion, queen, goddess, all in French. Awesome stuff. I always love how Serena just mixes it up when it comes to her outfits in the majors, right? And also Naomi Osaka, you know, the world number one, I believe, still. She was in some trouble, lost. She got blown out that first set, but was able to rally in the next two sets to move on in the French Open. She's one of my favorite athletes. Love her. Anybody you want to shout out, Connor?
Kawhi Leonard for, you know, baptizing Giannis on a couple of dunks. That was insane. And then just walking like he had just made a layup. Just, you know.
Yeah, no emotion. Oh, yeah.
He's a cyborg.
He is. He really is. He's definitely a robot, man. Awesome stuff. Okay, folks. That does it for this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Thank you all out there for listening. Thanks to our WKAR news team for their coverage, which will continue throughout the afternoon, centered on new Michigan State University president Samuel Stanley Jr. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Be easy, people.